So we have two glasses here tonight, a pitcher of water, which God made, and man-made coffee. All right. So first off, let's get this out of the way tonight. How many of you have, wow, that's not the slide that's supposed to be up there. How many know what Tim Hortons is? How many know what Tim Hortons is? Yeah, up there in Canada, up north, it's the Dunkin' Donuts of the very north, Canada, man, they love their Tim Hortons. So how many tonight are proud to say you have a cup of coffee or some kind of coffee with you? Raise your hand. You got you with you tonight, like you have it in a sealed, yeah. Okay, Mrs. Fauci, see who that is? One here. That's water, okay. Last I checked, water's the only thing allowed in the auditorium. Is that correct, Mrs. Fauci? You said no, I thought you always told me water's the only thing allowed in the auditorium. Okay, anyway. But we got our eye on these two right here. Sound them, got it right there, these two, okay. And Miss Heather's drinking it, and yeah, okay. These are empty vessels right here. Can you all see over there? Okay. The Bible says that Jesus was given, good job, assistant. Jesus was given the Spirit, ready for this? Without measure. That's what the Bible says. Without measure. That's a pretty powerful statement. Which is why Jesus had no problem doing any of the miracles he wanted to do. Now we understand that he's the Son of God, but watch this. As the Son of Man, in principle, it was vital that that verse is there. It shows us that the Spirit of God wants to fill us, okay? And I've heard this statement before, and I believe it to be true, that Spirit fullness is not us getting more of the Holy Spirit, but rather the Holy Spirit getting more of us. All right, so the Bible gives us a command. Now look at this. Verse number 18, it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, what is the real principle? What is the real teaching for that verse? Here it is. This is why God uses this as an example, okay? When somebody is drunk, you don't have to wonder what's wrong with them. It's evident. Years ago, my kids were very small. We had gone to the Bahamas. It was their first time there. I think Brielle and Aranda probably remember this. Grant and Claire were very small. I don't know if they remember this, but we were snorkeling in the middle of the day, and a party boat pulled up. I mean, the beach was empty, but a party boat pulled up, and people got off the boat, and this guy walks a few steps and falls face down into the sand. And I was like, okay, I know what's wrong with him. He's soused. I mean, he's been out in the sea, and he didn't drink salt water. I promise you that. All right, he's out there. So some people try to help him, and I know I should have been a good Christian, but I was too busy snorkeling at the time. And so anyway, so he was so drunk, there's nothing to do for him. So my kids got finished up. We started to head back in. I kind of forgot about him. We got ready to go to church. Well, he had finally made his way from the beach to the hotel we were at. And people were trying to help him. And listen, seriously, this dude is trying to kiss anybody who's helping him, man, woman, whoever it was. Some guy would lift him up. He's like, it was just. So you say, what'd you do? I told my four kids, I said, stay right here. I want you to watch this. You say, why? This is what sin does to you. Look at this. And the two little ones were a little scared. They're like, oh, just stay. Daddy's got you. And we watched this. It was a very entertaining show. I don't recommend you do it if you never have, but you know what I'm talking about. If you've watched drunk people, it's very entertaining. You can play with their mind. I used to be around my teammates. I told you a story before. I'd tell them they could fly. They'd run across the backyard, jump, flap their arms, and fall flat on their face. That's one reason I never got drunk, because I love watching drunk people make fools of themselves, right? The point is this. This is the point. This is why God uses this. Think about it. Why is God using drunkenness in the same concept as spirit fullness? Here's why. Because when a man is drunk, there's no question. The evidence is before you. You know that he is under the control of another substance. You don't have to wonder about it. And by the way, I've been around drunk people and high people, and there's still a difference between the two. A drunk man is just at a different level than anything else I've seen, man. Drunk people, right? So that's the question. The question of that is this. Is there evidence of spirit fullness in the world today? So the Spirit of God wants us. So God commands us. He says, hey, watch this. Number one, I want you to understand that you are not to be drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So statement number one, be not versus but be. Be not versus but be. So here's what happens to us today, okay? The water is a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit. But we have two vessels here, all right? Right over here. Hopefully everyone can see them. First vessel is full of Go ahead. Doesn't that just look gross? So that's the first vessel, right? That's one. Is it full? No. But it's got enough in it, right? And then the other vessel is empty. So now we're going to add the Holy Spirit. Go and fill them up. Go and fill them all the way up. Oh, man. Now you got to clean up a mess. Okay, as we said a while ago, these are two empty vessels. One kind of got full of self, right? Full of whatever. You add the Holy Spirit, you still have a hard time finding evidence of the Holy Spirit in this one. This one, all of a sudden, it's clear. There's evidence that the Holy Spirit is full. It's full of this one, right? So that's what's happening in Christianity today. The reason we're baffled today is not because we have too much coffee in our system. That might be possible, but no. It's because we have a whole lot of the world in us. Let's be honest tonight. Can I just be honest tonight? I think the greatest enemy of the Holy Spirit filling us is self. It's me, myself. Me. When I start to think of myself, poor pity me, life's miserable, life's rough, it's awful, it's hard for the Holy Spirit to fill me. Christ never lived like that. All right, Spirit-filled people begin to understand that because the Spirit is filling me, or I'm full of the Spirit of God, my soul, God is indwelling me. God is filling me up. And because of that, I have all the reason more to praise Him and bless His name. And the evidence will come forth in the world. So if God tells us to be Spirit-full, and now if you look at the two again, there's no debate that this one's full of water. I'll drink it. You got the water from the faucet, okay. That's good. I'm not drinking that. And I've seen this illustration before where they put mud and dirt. I would drink that. I'm not drinking that. The point is this, there's a huge difference between the two. This one has some spirit, but not enough for evidence. This one's full of the Holy Spirit, and there's evidence now. So again, it goes back to the original statement of this. Spirit fullness is not us getting more of the Holy Spirit. It's not like today I pray, well, it's Sunday, God, I got to preach today. Could I just have more of the Holy Spirit? No. It's me emptying myself of my wishes and my desires. Boy, I'll tell you, be honest with you, I really had to do that last Sunday when I preached that message on Sunday morning on purity and immorality. Boy, that was a struggle. I tried as best I could as your pastor to empty myself of self. And can I be honest with you, I failed many times in that area because still the battle for self, my own comforts, my own esteem, my own thoughts, my own selfishness is always battling with that. But when I completely yield myself to the Spirit of God and He fills me up, that's what's potential. That's the potential. So now you have to look at some evidences. Number two, notice one of the first things that comes after spirit fullness. Speaking to yourselves. Look at verse number 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to your heart, in your heart to the Lord. What does this verse have to do with spirit fullness? It's a continual thought. Remember, there's no period here. God is teaching us something. Does that mean that people that walk around singing about the Lord all day are spiritually full Christians? Not necessarily. But what it does mean is this is teaching us a principle of the Bible that is so gone, so forgotten, and that is the principle of meditation. Notice what the Bible says here. Look at this. He says to sing and make melody. But before he says to sing and make melody, what does he say first? Speaking to yourselves. That is meditation doctrine. You see, we live in a generation now, a time now, where we demand to be amused. We love our amusement parks. I'm not against amusement. But amuse means something else, some external stimulus, something else is going to make me respond. It's going to give me my thoughts, a roller coaster, a movie, a TV show, or an activity, right? But when the Christian, in the quiet of their walk with God, decides to meditate on God, the Bible says this, David says, when I was musing, the fire burned. Meditation. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord, the psalmist says. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the power of meditation will then begin to show forth the Spirit of God because we have taken the time to think on what we know, to think on what we read, to think on what we pray about, to meditate, let this mind go to work, and wow, it makes a difference, a powerful difference in our day-to-day lives when it comes to spirit formless. Can I ask you a simple question as a pastor and your friend? Have you just thought about Jesus today? Just thought about him. I know you sang about him, that's great, but did you think about him? When you woke up this morning, before you came to church, before you came to Sunday school, did you think about him? Well, it's Sunday, so maybe we did. Okay, what about tomorrow morning? It's Monday. Will you take a moment to just think about Jesus? Will you think about what we talked about this morning, how he loves us? Will you think about how much he's forgiven? Will you think about those things? When you think about those things, it changes our life, and we now give the world opportunity to see evidence of spirit fullness. Number three. You ready? This is God's list, not mine. You see, a lot of people think spirit fullness is, again, wait till we get to the fourth one. It's just having the evident power of God, speaking in tongues, or just having such a power of God in your life that people are just scared of you, or, you know, I breathe on you and you fall down. No, you know why that happens? Because they drank coffee that morning. Coffee breath causes people to fall down. No, spirit fullness is not about me looking good. It's about Jesus looking good, so good in my life that others are getting helped. The Spirit fills us to help others. It's not about helping me, it's helping others. But in the process of helping others and in the process of being Spirit-filled, I am the very blessed beneficiary of the presence of God. Number three, here's what God says. This is God's list. No period, continual thought. Ready? Giving thanks. Giving thanks is on this list. Look at this. Look at verse number 20 again. Giving thanks, that's the command. Ready? How often? Who? Always. For? Who? All things. Under who? God. And the who? Father. In the name of our who? Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. The Trinity is again in this passage. It's already mentioned that the Spirit is filling us. It's mentioned that we have God here in this verse. Father, Lord Jesus Christ. All of that's in that verse right there. Are you saying, preacher, it's hard to be spirit-full when we're complaining? Yes. It's hard to have spirit-fullness when we're a gossip? Yes. It's hard to be spirit-filled when we're criticizing people? Yes. A spirit or attitude of gratitude, being thankful, just being just in a place. Again, notice this process is speaking to yourselves in these songs, meditation, thinking about God's goodness, and turn all it makes you just grateful. It's going to a restaurant and being thankful for everything the waitress has brought to you. Being thankful for this church and being able to come. I know this church has issues. I know this church has problems. But boy, when we realize there's so much more to be thankful for, spirit fullness is evident. Hey, I know my country has issues. America's got serious problems. We need to pray for our country. Wow, we need revival desperately. I get all that stuff. But if I dwell on it, if I get focused on it too much, I begin to lose the potential of spirit fullness. Hey, can I say I thank God today that I'm still was born in the greatest country in the history of mankind? I'm an American tonight. I've been so blessed. Thank you, God. I'm not perfect in this area. I struggle in the same thing too. Complaining always wants to stick its ugly head up. But it's hard to be spirit full when you're complaining at the same time. Number four, same passage. Now, this is interesting. In all the years I've heard preaching, oh, I'm sorry, you could have sat down. Thanks, buddy. You did a good job. Don't forget to clean this all up when you're done. Thanks, bud. In all the years I've heard preached messages on this passage, and I've even preached on this, for some reason, we always stop there. Two verses later, the Bible gives that famous verse that men love. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, right? And the subject of marriage goes forward. Isn't it interesting, Brother Kevin, that when God talks about spirit fullness, the very next relationship he goes into is marriage? You know, honestly, the most important person in my life that should be able to observe spirit fullness in my life on a daily basis is my wife. And if she sees spirit fullness evidence in my life day in and day out, I'm pretty sure others will too. It's interesting that God does that. But now watch. Here's the verse that we struggle with as Christians, especially as Americans today. You always meet first. Right? I heard an interview the other day with a very famous celebrity, and they were asking what was wrong with the media. And he made a very strong statement. It was Denzel Washington. He made this statement. He said, the problem with your media is you don't want to tell the truth, you want to be first. You don't care about the truth, you don't care who it hurts, you just want to be first. You know what, you'd be a real journalist, you'd be a real media person if you just told the truth. That's powerful, that's true, so true. Now watch this. So we have spirit fullness, be not versus but be, speaking to yourselves, meditation, being thankful, giving thanks. Here it is, number four. Submitting yourselves. Submitting yourselves. Oh boy, look at verse number 21. Submitting yourselves to God. Is that what the Bible says? No. The Bible says submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Well, we don't have to worry about submitting ourselves to God by this point of the verse because we've already been spirit full. And you can't be spirit full unless you've submitted yourself to God. But evidence of spirit fullness is being willing to submit yourselves before somebody else. What does that mean in principle? What does that mean in application? What does it mean in our day-to-day lives? What does that mean? Here's what it means. It means you're willing to put somebody else first before me. Another brother or sister first. You see, too many people enter marriage seeing what they can get out of marriage instead of what they can put into marriage. The happiest marriages are literally where the husband and wife are competing against each other on how they can outdo their service to the other spouse. Now my wife is a single man saying amen right there. That's a blessing, amen. My wife is an incredible blessing to me in my life and the things she does to help me, my function. And I try to do the same thing for her in so many ways, and it almost becomes a healthy competition. And I fail at it miserably, but to be able to submit ourselves to each other, to realize that just because you have a title, just because you're a deacon, just because you're a pastor, just because you're an elder, just because you're a Sunday school teacher, no, we should be the ones submitting ourselves to another. Brother John was talking about false prophets in these last days this morning, and he talked about the televangelists say, send me money and then I'll be a blessing to you. That's so false. That's so contrary to spirit fullness. The other day my kids were asking me in my car about televangelists, and I thought, you know, isn't it amazing these healing crusades they have? They never go into the hospital. Somebody say amen right there. They have these healing crusades in churches, but never at the hospitals. Why don't they go to the hospitals and heal everybody, right? Because it's about me, myself, and I. Hey, submitting myself to somebody else, submitting myself to a child, submitting myself to somebody who really has no reason to benefit me, but instead I can benefit them and make their life just a little bit better today. That is evidence of spirit fullness. It's when Jesus stopped and said, oh, someone hath touched me, virtue hath left me. That was Jesus submitting to a woman in need. It's when the disciples said, shoot, children. Jesus said, no. Suffer little children to come unto me. That is submission in action. And most of all, it's this. Not my will, Father, but thine be done. And going to the cross so that you and I can know this morning he loves you and me. I think we overcomplicate spirit fullness. Being spiritually full and being in the principle of biblical continuity, it really boils down to this. It's emptying myself. It's the power of meditation. It's a grateful spirit. It's realizing that I am here to make your day better, to make your life better. As a husband, to make my wife's day better, to make my four children's day better. I'm not saying I've attained to this. I still struggle with it. But it's not about me. Spirit fullness, when it's all said and done, is this. It's about everybody else except me. And can I tell you the truth? I've known several spirit-full people in my life. And those spiritually filled people are some of the happiest people I've ever met in my life. You know why? Because the best lives you can live is a life where you put somebody else first. So tonight, many of us are like that first glass. We want the Spirit. He's in us some, and we have some desires. That's a blessing. But tonight, maybe just tonight, let's just empty that glass. Let's just empty it. Let's just get rid of that. Let's pour it out. I'm making a mess, Grant. Oh, man. Anyway, let's just fill up the water. Let's just get full of the Spirit so that people can look and say, oh, yeah, yeah. It's evident. I close with this thought. You've heard me say this before, but it's worth repeating again. The definition of the word enthusiasm in older English dictionaries is this: Spirit-filled Christians. Isn't that amazing that the old timers, when they were writing in the dictionary, they wanted to figure out a good definition for enthusiasm? You know, high energy, excited, right? They thought of spirit fullness. We as Christians in this world of 2022, how much more can we impact this world if we just let the Spirit fill us, make a difference in other people's lives? And here's the blessing, and I'm done. All of us, even the kids, can be Spirit-filled. Head your bowed eyes closed. Thank you for listening so well tonight.
If I were you, I would have given up on me by now. I would have labeled me a lost cause, 'cause I feel just like a lost cause. If I were you, I would have turned around and walked away. I would have labeled me beyond repair, 'cause I feel like I'm beyond repair. Oh, but somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still here. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction when the whole world walks away. You're the God who stays. I have ever done can separate my heart from the God who stays. I used to hide every time I thought I let you down. Always thought I had to earn my way, but I'm learning you don't work that way. 'Cause somehow you don't see me like I do. Somehow you're still. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction when the whole world walks away. You're the God who stands with wide open arms, and you tell me nothing I have ever done can separate my heart from the God who stays. Shame can't separate, my guilt can't separate, my past can't separate, I'm yours forever. My sin can't separate, my scars can't separate, my failures can't separate, I'm yours. Separate. No power of hell can take away your love from me. Will never change. I'm yours forever. You're the God who stays. You're the God who stays. You're the one who runs in my direction when the whole world walks away. You're the God who God who stays.
Thank you. for the saint who's gone astray, for the sinner blind but searching, for the child in need of faith, for the homeless and forsaken, for the hungry and the cold, for the prisoner and the captive, for the young and for the old.
There is a remedy for every sin sick soul. There is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and his name is Jesus Christ.
For the bitter, for the lonely, for the weary and afraid, for the burdened and frustrated, the discouraged and dismayed, for the mocked and persecuted, for the battered, for the wrong, for the scarred and for the wounded, for the weak and for the strong.
There is a remedy for every sin sick soul. There is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and his name is Jesus Christ.
For every tribe and every nation, for every color, every race, for every tongue and every language, for every time and every place.
There's an answer to the questions. There is love for all the hate.
There's a healer for the dying. He's the light, the truth, the way. There is a remedy for every sin sick soul. There is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and his name is Jesus Christ. There is a remedy, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.